So we're going to have a look this morning at Mark chapter 10 and verse 17 through 27. I want to ask you just a beginning before we just delve into this. If you've ever considered, and be ready for this question, okay? If you've ever considered what other people think about you, or when do we not consider what other people think about us, Matt? In reality, we constantly think about, do I look okay? Am I dressed all right? Is everybody going to think that, you know, I'm dressed a bit weird, that my quiff's a little bit high? I know, leave it out. It's almost like I did it on purpose this morning just to get a reaction. We consider all the time, I think, whether people, what people think about us. And a question that, of course, seems daft, what do we think or do we think about this? Of course, we have to also consider what they actually think about us, whether we are good or not. And we don't always get to that stage, do we, with people that we meet, where we, in essence, we make an initial assessment based on what they're dressed like, what we see, what we hear. We make an initial assumption, is that fair to say? An initial assumption of what we think that person is like. And then over time, as we get to know them, we find out whether, as we review the evidence, we find out whether they are good or whether they're not so good. Is that fair? Is that what human beings do? Or is this just me and I'm an awful person? I should be thrown out of the church immediately. Oh, okay. Well, nobody said no. So let's close in prayer. So I guess it's a little more complex than just going after a few months going whether that person's good or bad. You may be good on or with a computer. I am not. That is something I am not good at. But you may think, well, I'm really good at that. And in fact, I'm that good, I'm able to access other people's personal information. You see how it's gone from good to quite bad quite quickly, yeah? So what we think is good, and in an initial assessment, we go, wow. We go, no, that's really bad. You shouldn't do that. That's awful. But also that you may be good at a particular sport or a particular hobby. Yet when you meet someone who's a professional, you're not that good anymore. And is that just, that's not just me. No, there are a few things that I like to think that I'm good at. And when I played squash, as an example, with somebody who had not even a professional, a semi-professional, I liked to play squash for a long time until I blew my ACL. And anyway, I enjoyed it. I loved it. And I played somebody who was a semi-professional. I thought I was good. And I make no joke here. I did not score a single point. Not a single point. It got to the point where he was trying to give me a point. And I thought, this is not great. I am not as good as I thought I was. So in actual fact, when we view the word good or what good is, we've got to think about the wider environment around us and the wider things that happen off, go off in our head so that we can try and just understand then what the word's going to say to us here. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 27. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared. Teacher, he declared. All these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we just look into your word then this morning, Father, as we've read it together, we just pray, Lord God, that you would just see fit to bless us this morning. Father, that you'd speak through me. Father, that hearts and ears, minds might be open, Lord, to what you are saying to us here through your word, what your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has laid out for us. And I pray, Lord God, that you would just help us this morning to be receptive to what you've got to say. We ask these prayers in and through our Saviour's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So first of all, church, then here we've got a young, rich ruler. And you might go, Matt, we didn't get that information from Mark. He has not told us that that is the case. But if you look at Matthew and you look at Luke and you look at Mark together, you get this plethora of information. You're welcome. It's a good one in Scrabble. He comes to Jesus and falls to his knees before him. This young man is in a good place. How do we know that? Well, we can assess that by the way that he's posing these questions to Jesus. He has, seemingly, church, everything that he needs in this current, present world. That's exactly what he believes. And he actually asks Jesus, not for help now, but he asks Jesus about what's to come. He asks Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He wants eternal life. He wants to know what he can do to get it. And I love Jesus' response, because he goes right to the matter. He doesn't hang about, no messing about. This guy is sure of what he wants. He is clearly a driven and ambitious chap, because he is a rich, young ruler. He knows what he wants. He goes out and gets it. He is used to success. He is used to achieving the goals that he sets himself. And Jesus says to him in verse 18, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Now, just for a second, think now about what's happening inside the man's head. Because he's gone to Jesus with everything. He lacks nothing apart from what's to come. He's got everything for this present world. He believes he is good. He believes he is good. And Jesus says to him, no one is good except God alone. Now straight away, he is going to be reeling. His head is going to be spinning. He's not going to know what to do. He's thinking, how can that be the case? I'm rich, I'm smart, I'm a ruler, I'm respected. And the list, I'm certain, would go on. Tall, handsome, debonair. But Jesus goes right to the heart of the matter, and he doesn't stop. Because now he sets the guy up to go, hang on a minute, I might be back in here. Jesus goes on in verse 19 to say, you know the commandments. You see how Jesus is giving respect to the young man? You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. And honour your father and mother. And the guy's like, yes. Jürgen Klopp-esque. A celebration that blows everybody out of the water. He is so excited now in this moment. Because he goes, verse 20, teacher, he declared. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Now he's got this issue in his head though, because he's like you and me, okay? So one side, Jesus has said, no one's good except God. And he thought he was good. So now he knows that, well, he's not God, so he's not good. Or so he should. And on the other side of it, Jesus is saying, these are the commandments. What you've got to do is keep them. And he goes, well, I've kept them. I'm not good, but I've kept them. So that means I am good. Am I good? I'm not sure. Who's good? Nobody. Jesus. God. Am I good? No. Might not be. But I have kept them. You see what's going off? It's like ping pong. Or squash. I still suffer from that game. Mostly in my heart. Anyway, so now we've got this situation where Jesus has brought this man to the real heart of the issue. We've now got this moment where Jesus has given him these commandments, and all of those commandments that Jesus has presented to him are between you and me. They are person-to-person commandments. And now you'd think, well, he knows that he's a polite, respectful young man. Jesus has already assessed that by giving him the respect to say to him, you know the commandments. And now we get right in to verse 21. And if you're an underliner or a highlighter of scripture like I am, just so that when I turn a page, I don't miss it when I go back to it. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Full stop. Is that not the most beautiful thing? Now, just before I go any further, we're just going to sit here for a second. Jesus looked at him and loved him. This man thought he was all of what he needed to be in order to get this thing that he hadn't got. But Jesus knew that that wasn't the case. Jesus knew that he was a flawed human being. He knew that he was a human being bound by the curse of sin. Jesus knew that this man was not good at all. Jesus knew that he wasn't good enough. He knew everything about him. And Jesus loved him. You know, this morning, you might not think that you're good enough. You might not think that you are... anybody could ever love you. You've gone too far. You're just not lovable in any way, shape, or form. Let me tell you this. God loves you. John 3:16 is so clear, and it's on the wall on the other side of church for that very reason, that God so loved the world. Put your name there. He loved you enough to give the Lord Jesus Christ his very best for the very worst of you. Even though we fail and we're flawed and we get things wrong and we want to go our own way, we want to do it our own way. God loves you. Do not miss that verse. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And then he gives him, because he loves him, the reality of the situation. One thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. You know, the young man's joy is short-lived because he has just realized that his good isn't going to cut it. It isn't good enough. For the first time now then, Jesus challenges his heart. Don't be blinded though, church, by the money. Because that would be naive. Don't think, oh, well, he can't get into heaven because he's rich. No. It's not a money issue. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. What was the man's number one? Now, we can make a fair assessment on that by the way that he comes to Jesus. I don't need anything for now, but I do need something for the bit I have no control over. Like he has control over the now. You with me? Is everybody tracking there? He comes to Jesus with this, I guess, if we're not careful, just the arrogance of life. I've got the now, but what about the next bit? I've got the now. I'm in control. I'm a rich young ruler. And Jesus challenges his heart because what Jesus wants to know is, what is the man's number one? And in fact, while we're asking the question, let's ask it to ourselves this morning. What about you? What is your number one? You see, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, which you're able to turn to if you've got a Bible with you, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24, he says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let me just read that once more. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Jesus is saying to this man now, but where is your heart? What's your number one? He says, go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and then come and follow me. Because Jesus knew full well that the man's heart was devoted to his status. The man's heart was devoted to everything that he got, that he thought he'd accumulated. You remember the farmer who built bigger barns, and the Lord demanded his breath. We forget, don't we? We put ourselves in this position of we're almost God of our own lives. I'm in control. Yet we forget that it is God who holds us in the palm of his hand. We ought not to think too highly of ourselves, church, right? You know, this is a stark reality. Because we see here, we think this guy he's got it all together. Everything that I read here seems legit. And the disciples, as you go on to read it, which you can do later on, they're just baffled by it. Like, well, if he can't, how can we? Because he's got everything. Is it possible, church, to have everything and have nothing? Oh, you bet it is. You can have what the world deems as everything, but if you've not got Christ, the Bible says you have not got life. The Bible says that we can take hold of life that is truly life, and the only way to do that is to put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we treasure most? And I would argue, for all of us in here, that we all have the same thing. And you're thinking money, aren't you? It's time. That's what we treasure most. It's time. Will there be a tomorrow for me? And I guess the older we get, the more we worry, because the less time we have. And that's just a reality of life. And we start to panic. And we start to think, well, what am I doing? What am I leaving behind? Well, maybe where am I going? Maybe you've never considered it before. What's it got to do with me? It's just for those people who struggle through life, just bumble along the bottom. But I've always been a rich young ruler. I've never had to worry about it. But now you're saying it, well, maybe I have to give some consideration here. Where am I going? Am I okay? Is it everybody else in this place that needs Jesus? But I don't. Church, the reality here, Jesus is giving this man the opportunity at life. And you know what? The bit that breaks my heart about this whole section is that the man goes away sad because he had great wealth. Mate, what are you thinking? Why would you do that? You know, the time that we have In the grand scheme of eternity, is that little pink bit just there. Can you see that? Let's see how good this works. Somebody just keep rolling. Let's have it all out. Send it. Keep sending it. As far as you can. Bring it back. Send it back. And do you know what? We could play this game for about 15 minutes. This is the now. You know, eternity is a long time, eh? Eternity is a really long time. And the Bible says that if we don't put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will spend an eternity without God. We will be in a place where there is no love, there is no joy, there is no friendship, there's no laughter. We're in a place without God, the absence of love. My word, eternity's a long time, eh? And the man went away sad because all he could see was now. Don't think it's not for you. Don't make the same mistake that this man made. Don't go away from this moment and go, it's not for me. But listen to what the word says. We have an opportunity to put our faith and trust in God and to spend an eternity with him in a place where God is, in a place where joy is, in a place where love exists, that he made for you and for me. This morning, let the word that the Lord has given to us sit on our hearts. Let's just read together. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 11, says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. The young man was not willing to make Jesus his Lord. What about you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning that we have an opportunity at life through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may you help us realize today that this gospel message, this good news about Jesus, is for each and every single one of us in this place. And Father, may your Holy Spirit move and may lives be changed today. Father, wherever your gospel is preached and your word is held to, we pray, Lord, that lives might be changed today. And we ask, Father God, that as we just enjoy this time of worship together, as we listen, as we reflect, that you would speak into hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.